Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR-DB.
What's up, everyone? You are listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWRDB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, fitness, and health. So I'm super, super excited tonight. I have one of my best friends from college, from back in the day, on my show tonight. A super fun show planned for tonight. But first, as always, you got to listen to a couple of my shout-outs. The first shout out is going to go out to Elder Roger Williams for being on my last show. Your insight and your topic was so on point. In case any of you missed it, please go to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio Station on the Blog Talk Radio platform and check it out. The last show shout out, I'm going to make this really quick. It goes out to all the recent birthdays out there, especially my little princess, Ms. Brianna, Ms. B, she turned a whopping double digits, big number 10. So happy birthday to my daughter and to all you March and April babies out there. I hope you all did something amazing to celebrate. So we're going to get right into it tonight. I'm super duper excited to introduce to you one of my, like, best friends from back in the day. She's my Gemini twin. She's my sister in soul. She's one of my dearest friends, one of my first friends that I met my freshman year of college. We've known each other for, like, over two decades. You know when you are a Gemini, you just can't do one thing. You got to have your hands in every darn thing that there is. Like, you do a multitude of things because we are so creative. And so misunderstood because we do a lot. We do a whole lot. So, you know, I just want to say, first of all, she's an amazing mother of three beautiful daughters. She's a software engineer, a lifestyle coach, and now a published author. Wow. You may have seen her on So You Think You Can Dance or, you know, in the top 10 of World of Dance in 2018. Featured on ABC, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Ms. Leah Johannes. Leah, you are live on air. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Tammy. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's been 26 years. Oh, I am shaking from excitement.
That is insane. 26 years. Girl, you're aging us. Yeah, we met when we were 28, right?
Okay. Sisters in soul, always in control. You forgot that part.
Oh, that's right. Sisters in soul, always in control. That's right. That is so right. Oh, my gosh.
We're going to have to come back and wrap for everybody about this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, sisters in soul, the reason why I say that, everybody, for our listeners out there, is because Leah and I were in a rap group. Well, I don't want to just say rap. Like, we sung. It was like an R&B and hip-hop group, right? Just you and I.
Yep.
And we would, like, perform at, like, the Levi's, I think, cafe or whatever, that little the college campus thing. Now they got like a – you don't even recognize that university. Yeah, girl, look at that university. Look, it is like a – that university is now like a whole city. Like, we didn't have what they have now. They have a whole food court. girl. They got like 30 restaurants up in there. Like
back.
Western Oregon University. I'm like, what is this? Yeah, we didn't have any of that. We had two.
Well, yeah,
Balsets, which we called it something else. We called it something else than Balsets. We called it something else. And then we had Levi's. And Levi's was fancy. So for us to perform at Levi's, it was like a whole situation. Like, that was bomb. And then we would go to the club.
I mean, we were stars.
And we would perform at the club. Oh, we were stars. We were local stars. Everybody knew us. They knew who we are. And, you know, I remember a few of our songs. See, I have a whole binder of this, Leah. I will find this for you, and I'm going to mail it to you. Yeah, actually, you know, no, you and I are going to cut a whole record. We're going to cut a record of all of our old songs and then do something new
together.
We are.
We have to. We have to. I know, look, my kids are going to think it's so cringy, but that's okay.
I know, seriously.
You're never
seriously.
Too old to
I mean,
stop dreaming.
You're not. I remember we wrote a song about, it's called Russian for Gold. We literally wrote a song on a come up hustle that we were going to talk to this guy with a gold tooth and we were setting up a plan to punch him in his mouth and knock out the gold tooth so that we could take it to the local pawn shop and then pawn that so that we could have money. That's how broke we were in college. That's how broke we were. Like that was
I repeat, cringy, right?
Yeah, super cringy.
So fun,
like,
though.
Like,
we had so much fun.
So much fun. And then what are some
of
the songs you remember we used to sing in karaoke?
What was it? Oh, Red Light Special, Your T-Vogs. Remember that?
Okay. I had it. Yeah, T-Vogs, and you were Left Eye, right? You were Left Eye.
Yep.
Absolutely. I remember that. And you were Brandy. You were Brandy, too. We did Brandy, but we broke the song apart, like, because, I mean, you always looked, you had the Brandy braids at that time. Yeah, we broke it down in
the park.
Remember, we had that guy. The guy from E-40 sung that. Ba-boom. Ba-boom.
Yes.
Boom, boom. Hurricane. But you can call
me hype man.
That dude, he played that. Ba-boom. Ba-boom. Boom.
Hey.
Boom. He was the bass guy for E-40. Right?
And he
produced that whole rendition of I Want to Be Down for us. And that was pretty dope.
We were on our way. We were really on our way.
We were on our way. Yeah, we definitely, I remember a few of those rhymes. We'll save that for another time, the next time you're on my show, because we definitely got
to
do some of these, you know?
Absolutely.
So let's let everybody know for sure. So let's let everybody know how we met. We met what was once called Western Oregon State College when you were there, but then they changed their name, thankfully, when I graduated, with Western Oregon University. So it's a little bit more, like, distinguished. It's kind of cool. I had to change up my my WASC shirts. Kind of made me had to get new gear. That was probably a little money scheme for them. But it worked out because university was nice on the grad, you know, on the diploma. And then
just in time.
Thank God for social media, because I was like, where did you go? Like, because you were just gone. You were gone.
Yep.
And the thing is, as you mentioned in your book, that we're gonna jump into that in a little bit, but you mentioned in your book something so critical. Like, you and I had the special gift of going on the dance floor, the first ones on the dance floor. You wrote this in your book. The first ones on the dance floor and the last people to leave. Like, they had to be, like, last call, everybody out, including Miss Candy, Miss Mia. Like, right? Because we did not leave that dance floor.
Yeah, we're trying to
that
go
was
home.
Our, they're trying to go home. Look, we were closing, the lights were on, and we were still dancing. They had to kick us out because we literally were the party. I swear to God. We were the party.
Yes.
We were the party.
Yes. For real.
You know,
I absolutely remember that. Such a high.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, we're Geminis to the fullest, too, because we always had our hands in, like, art, poetry, singing.
Everything.
I don't know. You name it. Yeah.
And I never
it's
left
like,
that.
Cool.
Yeah.
We looking.
You know what I recently found
did.
Out, though? You know how they say jack of all trades, master of none? Which sounds like a bad thing, but the full quote is actually, jack of all trades, master of none, but oftentimes better than a master at one. Did you know that?
Ooh, I like that. I never
right?
heard of that.
That's the
like
full.
That.
That's the full thing. Exactly. So you know what?
Wow.
I don't feel bad anymore.
Wow.
I don't feel bad
you
anymore.
Know, I
all
like
the,
that.
All the things
no,
I tried.
That's our Gemini
yeah.
excuse right there. That's our alibi. I got to memorize that now.
Exactly.
Now you're gonna make
yeah.
me do my homework. Now
yep.
I gotta go back and listen
do,
to this
yeah.
and remember that now.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's the full quote
you know,
that nobody
so,
ever says.
Yeah, I like that. I really like that because you know, it makes you more versatile too. Because when you network, when you meet people, if you experience a lot of different things, you can connect with people, and that's important too to
yes.
be able to
yes.
make those connections with people. Because that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to do on this earth. We're meant to connect with people, with one another. And that's how you
Absolutely.
Change lives and make a difference and all that good stuff. The stuff you're doing
yeah,
right
and,
now.
Whew, man, a lot going on. And I love it.
A lot. It, absolutely. And so this was crazy. So you were the first person that I ever knew, like from Africa. Like you were the first, you're from Ethiopia. You and your family are from Ethiopia. And
yes.
you somehow ended up in the smallest podunk town of Monmouth, Oregon, the only dry town in probably the nation. Like
that was,
dry
yeah.
town meaning everybody, not dry like weather, because it was definitely wet, like it rained a lot.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm talking
yeah.
about like there's you could not sell alcohol or buy alcohol,
no alcohol.
In that town. No
yep.
alcohol.
One of five black people.
Oh yeah, one of five. Like how did you end up at Monmouth? How did that happen?
Okay.
And what was that like to be one of five, you know, black people on campus?
Okay, so to back it up a little bit, I moved here at the age of 15. And how that came about was in Ethiopia during that time, there was a lot of political unrest. So school would be closing every other week because of riots, and we missed a lot of school. So my parents decided, this was probably, my 10th grade year. So I was a sophomore in high school. So by junior year, they sent me to the States. They decided to send me. I was the oldest out of my siblings. And I came to Oregon because I had an aunt and an uncle who lived there. So I came to stay with them. Now, when I first left, I was so happy. You know, I'm a teenager. I'm thinking I don't need my parents. And honestly, that experience really shattered my heart, I will say, because I really needed my family. It was such a culture shock. It didn't matter how many movies I'd watched, because I thought when I got here, it would be like it was in the movies. My parents enrolled me in a Catholic high school, thinking, you know, mm-hmm. that will just be a great choice for me. That was another culture shock. And at first, I thought when I got to high school, oh, wow, all these kids are going to think it's so cool that I'm from Africa. I'm going to tell them all about my country, all about Ethiopia. And that was not what happened. I was very disappointed because
really?
They made fun of me. Yes, they made fun of me. They said, oh, you Africans, you run around naked. And honestly, most people, what they know about Ethiopia is the starving children they've seen in the ads, which, yes, they exist, but that is not the whole country. I mean, Ethiopia is such a beautiful country with so much history and resilience. So honestly, after a few weeks of school, I decided not to share that I was Ethiopian anymore. I finished high school, and then I got a scholarship to Western Oregon State because there was another Ethiopian girl. She was graduating, and they wanted, you know, more sprinkles of international students. So she contacted her family, knew my family, and she said, hey, I think it'd be a good place for you to come here. I actually wanted to just get out of here and, you know, move to New York or do something crazy. But, you know, I got a scholarship there. So that's how I ended up in Monmouth. And when I got there, the expectation was I got a scholarship, you know, for grades and for being an international student. So they wanted me to contribute to that. But I really had a hard time integrating into the International Student Society because I had a rough time in high school sharing who I was. So it was really hard for me. Like, even to this day, I don't think a lot of people know I'm Ethiopian. I'm just now getting to a place where I'm embracing it and sharing it openly because that really scarred me in high school. College was much better. I felt like we were all more open-minded, and especially just the friends I made, like you, Christine, Twyla, like I just loved that. We just loved each other, and whatever we shared, you know, there was just no judgment. So high school was not that great, but honestly, college was better. Even though I was still a minority there, I didn't really feel it. I don't know if you remember this. One time when we were planning to go to California for spring break, right? So the beauty mm-hmm. of youth, we didn't plan anything. We're like, hey, let's just, you know, all pile up in Tyler's hatchback, four of us. And I think we each had $200 to our name. We're like, all right, spring break of freshman year, we're going to California and we're just going to wing it. And we're sitting in this girl's room. I don't remember her name, but she was mixed. So she's half black, half white, I believe. And she was telling us, oh, you don't want, you know, areas you want to avoid, you don't want to go here, you don't want to go there. And she was like, hey, especially like, you know, this area, you don't want to go unless you have like a black person with you. And in that moment, we're all looking at each other like, where are we going to find a black, including me, where are we going to find a black person?
Oh my God.
That, and then we just started laughing like, but it's, and of course, like I embrace, you know, my blackness, and, you know, I'm proud of it. And it's not, you know, I know some people say we don't see, you know, they don't see color, but everybody saw like the beauty of my color. So I'm not saying that amongst our friends, you know, anything like that happened, but it was just so cool that I was able to, like, you know, that's why I said we're sisters, because we just loved each other beyond anything, you know? And I remember that moment. It was crazy.
Yeah, unconditionally.
Yeah, that's
and I remember, you know, I remember that you went to my grandma's house one Christmas. I remember, I have a picture. I have to dig that up somewhere.
I remember
I have a picture
that.
Of you. Yeah, because my grandparents, they lived in Dallas at the time, and you spent Christmas with us one year. I remember, like my whole family met you, and it was so fun, and that was really cool. Yeah, you were family. You were not, like, we were, like, not best friends. Like, we were family, and me, you, Christine, and Twyla were, like, inseparable, like, sisters. And it was
always the four
of us in that car, always going to front, the waterfront in Portland, closing down the techno clubs. I don't even know what. Techno was
the music
crazy.
That
techno was
stop.
Big. Back. Oh, my. It's the same beat. Dun,
like the song.
Going
to the next song.
It goes into the next song, and we would leave there, like, ranking. Like, we stink. We sunk. Stink, yeah. Stink. Stink.
Both.
Stink or sunk, whatever the word is. Horribly.
Both.
Horribly. Like, we left that. Yeah, it was bad. But then I remember going to Corvallis, and somehow we always had to go to the bathroom. Like, we always had to pull over and go to the bathroom. Like, the ride, the whole ride was 25 minutes. And I'm like, we would not last in L.A. traffic. Like, that would, like, not be a thing out here. Like, I don't know what – we always had toilet paper in Twyla's car to go to the bathroom.
Always.
And then we'd hit up the –
she's prepared for everything.
The frat parties were the best. We always hung out at that one, Five Sigs or something like that. And then we'd always remember their Halloween parties. I remember, like, Gin and Juice was a song back in the day.
Yeah.
Snoop and Warren
That's
G.
That's how we got ready.
And
– yep.
Oh my gosh, Brownstone, Monica, Leah, we had all of that going. And then Christine and her massages, her hand massages. Oh,
oh
my gosh.
My goodness.
Every time we're stressed out.
when I see her again, happening.
Oh, that is happening. That is absolutely, I hope she did not lose. She better like work it out and start like training now.
Yeah, I'm sure she's listening. So
we
Christine.
See her.
Get ready.
Christine, you better hook it up.
We about to make a voucher, and be like redeeming that.
Exactly.
Because I mean, we just
and the craziest thing is that you and I thought so much alike. I swear you were like my Gemini twin. We thought so much alike that we ended up dating We dated the same person without knowing.
Of course.
I swear, this was like an episode of Sister Sister. Like, you would talk about some guy that you really liked, and I'd be talking, oh, yeah, I like this guy too, but I'm not talking about it. I don't want to tell anybody, and you wouldn't tell anybody. And we kept talking about
this guy. And we had a Brandy Monica, that boy is mine. I remember,
this just came to me. I remember
when I found out that you were dating the same guy that I was dating without us knowing, I remember I had drank some vodka, and then I remember running to the track, and I ran 12 times around the track.
You never told me that.
I don't think I told you. I ran 12 times around the track, and then I ran across the grass area, because you know you have to go across the grass area to get to our pods, like to get back to campus. And then when I was running, I tripped over like a little wood, like a branch or something, and I fell down. And next thing you know, I woke up with dew all over me, like dew from the grass. Like I woke up in the morning and
That's traumatizing. I passed out.
I don't think I told anyone, but I know
this is my first time hearing this.
I know Jamie, Skippy, darn it, I forgot to tell her to listen, so I'll give her the link after the show. But I forgot. Skippy was wondering, where is Tammy? Like, why did she
come
home?
Where's
my roommate? And it was because I had passed out in the grass, and I was too embarrassed to tell anyone.
They're heartbroken.
I became part of the grass. Like, moss started growing on me. Flowers growing out my ears. It was a whole thing. It was a whole situation. It was nuts.
That's crazy.
So then we fast forward, not really that far, into your sophomore year where you just, like, ghosted. Like, you were just gone. You're gone. And I had no clue. Yeah. I had the weirdest roommate my sophomore year. Sophomore was okay. And then I had one weird one and one normal person.
Got to balance it out, you know?
I had a weirdo, and then my senior year, forget about it. That girl, she's listening. We don't need to be in touch. We're good. But bless you.
Because
I've had, like, after that, I was like, I'm on my own. You know what I mean? And you know, I of course saw the rest of the girls, but you were gone, like my Gemini twin, and I felt like so lost, like without my Gemini twin. What happened to you? I don't even know the story. I promise you guys, listeners,
I do not know.
All my friends, my family, all the listeners out there, I talked to you the other day on the phone, and I said, save it for the show, because I do not even know what happened. And so thank you, Zuckerberg, for Facebook, because I reconnected with you. But
yeah, and even then,
what happened to you?
I still don't.
So upset with you. No, you didn't do anything.
What? Oh, my God. From our mystery boyfriend.
You know what? I was there sophomore year in the apartments, and I think once after freshman year, when we weren't seeing each other, it wasn't like routine for us to see each other every weekend anymore. We still saw each other, but it wasn't as much. So after sophomore year, I moved to Texas. I had a cousin here. I still live in Texas. I had a cousin here, and I had come to visit her one summer, and I liked it. It was just more diverse. I think that's the main thing I remember back then. So I thought, you know what? Let me move there and finish school. See, this is that side of the Gemini that, you know, maybe wasn't always a wise choice. So
squirrel.
I moved. Exactly. You know, change of scenery. Let's go. So yeah. I should have planned it out a little better because I came out to Texas and I did not have a scholarship. So I thought, okay, I'll just go up to the university and, you know, transfer all my credits and continue my education. I get here and they tell me, oh, you have to show $10,000 in your account before we let you enroll, because I was an international student, which meant I couldn't get grants. I couldn't get loans because I'm an international student. So $10,000, if I had to ask my dad for money back then, translated to 100,000 birr in Ethiopian money. So honestly, I was just really embarrassed [S2] Wow. [S1] To tell him that I didn't plan this out right. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to work and I'm going to save money and go back to college, which is, yeah, the hardest thing to do. So I should have stayed in Oregon and finished. So what happens is I move here. I think I was 19 and I start working, but I didn't have the visa to work, so I couldn't continue that. And the only option for me to stay in the country was to get married. So at 19 years old, I got married, and I didn't pay him to marry me or anything. He was my boyfriend, but I got married, and I still couldn't go back to school. It took me 4 years to get my green card to be able to stay here. So in my third year, so I was 21, I got pregnant, and by 22, I was the mother of a beautiful baby girl, and the marriage, we're just too young, for one, to be married, and he was emotionally abusive at the time. We're great co-parents, and we're great friends now, because we've all grown and matured, but at the time, it was just a different story. So at 22, I ended up divorced, and I had a full-time job, and I decided to go back to school. At this point, I had my green card. And honestly, at any point in my life when I feel less confident, I always think of that girl who defied culture. In my culture, it is really a black sheep thing to do, to get divorced. But I knew that it wasn't a healthy situation to bring my daughter into, and I don't want to raise her in that situation. So I did what I had to do, and I went to school full-time. I worked full-time, and I was able to get my bachelor's. It took me, I think, another 3 years, but I stuck to it, and I did it. And so anytime now in my life, I always look back to Leah at that age and say, you know what? She did that. If she can do that, I can do anything. So, yeah, that's where I ended up. And then a couple of years later, I got married for a second time. And I was married for 16 years. So I just got divorced 2 years ago. But I was a stay-at-home mom for the last 15 years. And, you know, the Gemini thing, like we said, I did a lot of different things as a stay-at-home mom. I had a nutrition line. I made salads in a jar named after my mom, Yemi. Her full name is Yemi Sarach, but for short, it's Yemi, so I called it Yemi Jars. Did that. That's when I danced. I went on So You Think You Can Dance, season 16, episode 1, I believe. Won 10th in the world on World of Dance against all these teenagers. And I joined a crew of moms who were dancers. And, you know, we'll get to that. So I did all these things. But then when my husband and I, we decided to get a divorce. And honestly, it's so great. Like, he lives 6 blocks away. He's there for the girls. We're just in a really good place. So I'm so glad this is how it panned out. And when we decided to get a divorce, it was really scary because I had been a stay-at-home mom for so long, and I had a bachelor's in speech communication from years ago. Like, what am I going to do with that? I can't re-enter the workforce with that. So I went back to school. I did an IT boot camp for a year, and that got my foot in the door to be a junior software engineer. And I got a job. I was able to keep the house and the cars, because one of the things that my husband and I, my ex-husband now, and I wanted to make sure was that we didn't switch up the girls' lives too much. We didn't want to uproot them from their childhood home and their schools and all that, you know, because the divorce was change enough, and, you know, we didn't want to screw them up. So I got an opportunity to work from home, which was such a blessing because it meant that the things my kids were used to as me being a stay-at-home mom, which was me cooking them dinner, you know, hey, calling me, hey, mom, I forgot this, and, you know, taking that to school, picking them up, just anything they needed, I was still able to do that. So now I, like I said, software engineer, I work from home, and the great thing is I'm able to do all these things during the day, like, you know, I'm working and doing laundry, cooking, all that, so that when my kids come home, I'm not tired, I'm not frustrated, I'm not flustered, I'm available for them. And I was also able to carve out time to work on my book. It took me 9 months to write the first draft. And that was a journey in itself, a healing journey. I learned a lot of things about myself. For instance, how, like you said, I just got up and disappeared. And that's from everybody's lives. I realized that what happened at 15 when I got here and how that just ripped my heart, I feel like every time I got close to people, there was a part of me that was scared to feel that feeling again. So I would just, if I moved, I would close a chapter and disassociate from that because it was too painful to just keep it open. So here we are.
Wow.
That was crazy. A lot.
Okay,
right?
That was a lot. But I got to touch on some of the things that you talked about because you can't just be like, oh, yeah, I made it to the top 10 of So You Think You Can Dance or World of Dance and all this. Like, okay, how did,
absolutely.
Like, when I saw that on, like, I was like, okay, because what's crazy is that I kind of took off of my music. I did some dance stuff, too. Like, you know, I had my own dance crew and had my own Models of Motion. Like, I had my own dance thing going on, too,
yeah.
And I thought I was going to come out here doing choreography and dancing, and I've had dance teams and all kinds of stuff. But I went off into my music side because, you know, us Geminis, we've got all these different trades. So I went off on the music side, and you went off on the dancing side. I mean, we both have both of those skills. Both of us have both of those skills, for sure. But we kind of veered into these different directions. But, like, how did that even evolve? Like, how did the mom crew evolve, and how did you get the opportunity to get to that level So You Can Think You Can Dance and World of Dance? Because those are, hats off to you, because that's a huge accomplishment. It is extremely hard to get on those shows. I tried out for Missy Elliott Project,
and
it doesn't work out.
Wow.
And it was extremely, extremely, extremely tough. Like, competition is fierce. When you come to LA, you better bring every single thing that you have in your pocket.
Absolutely.
Every weapon that you got.
Everything.
You know, I'm not talking about on the street, but I'm talking about every single thing that you've ever learned in your life. You better bring it here, and you better apply it, because it's on and cracking. The competition in LA or New York, it doesn't matter. Like, the competition on an entertainment level, especially, I would say, in New York and LA, is fierce. So tell us about that part of your life.
That's huge. Okay. So dancing was just a saving grace for me. It started in high school when I got here. I was on the drill team, and I realized, wow, this is the thing that makes everything stop for me. Being on the dance floor made me not miss my family as much. It just made sense when everything else in my life didn't make sense. So it started there, and I don't know if you remember, in college we did, I think you, me, and Twyla did the spring show or something. I remember something like that where we did a dance thing. So it continued in college. And then when I even tried out, oh, wow, I forgot about this. I tried out for the Desperados. It was a football league, semi-professional football league. Like I tried out for the Mavs, and I made it past the first round, actually. So that was at around 25. So I just never stopped dancing. Like, you know, I'd have my babies recover and then go dance somewhere. But what started happening was when my children were little and my husband was working nights, I really couldn't go to a dance studio because they didn't have daycare. So for a long time, I really couldn't dance. And then Zumba came about. So I started going to Zumba classes because those were in the gyms, and, you know, you could take your kids to the childcare. So I realized, wow, this is what I've been missing in my life. Like, you know, I had postpartum depression after my third baby, and that just helped me get back to me feeling more like myself. So I started there. I even went into teaching dance fitness for a little while. And how I joined the crew of moms was there was a dancer that I had met at one of the dance festivals. And when I saw her on stage, I just thought, wow, she was amazing. Like, she was dancing to a Janet Jackson song. It was just awesome. So that was probably, let's see, I was 25 maybe. So I see her at 25 and, you know, I give her my number. At that time, there was no social media. There was no Facebook, nothing. So just, you know, we exchange numbers, and I kid you not. So this was like, I had my first child, and that's when I met her. My first daughter was like 4 or 5 when I met her. So then every year I would call her every year, once a year, I would say, hey, I'm still going to come dance with you. You know, I just had a baby, or, you know, I'm doing this, but once I can get childcare or something, I'm going to come dance with you. I did that for 10 years. I know, sounds crazy. Every year I'm like, okay, I hope she hasn't changed her number. I would just call her. Hey, I'm still going to come dance with you. I mean, she had a crew here. Like, she, you know, she was a teenager at the time, and she had a crew, and I think she even moved out to LA and did some backup dancing and then came back here to Texas. So then one day I get an invitation. Now I'm, I think, 35 at this point. And so this is 10 years later. And I get an invitation to, like, a class for moms, dancers. And I'm like, what? That sounds so whack. Like, what are we going to do, two-step? Like, no, I'm not going. But I was like, okay, fine. So I go, right? Because, you know, when you hear moms dancing, it's like, yeah, it doesn't sound cheesy. I'm not going to lie. So I go, and it's her. I was like, whoa, I can't believe this. And she announces, she teaches the class. It's amazing. It's hip hop. It's challenging. It's, you know, fresh. And I was just like, wow, this is awesome. Then she announces, hey, I'm having auditions, and to join, you have to be a mom. So she started this group because, like the rest of us, she felt like she got to a certain age. It's like when you are a kid in school, you know, you have dance, you have sports, and then you become an adult, and it's like, where do you go? I mean, sports, at least they may have, like, teams at the YMCA, or, you know, like, you can do Sunday volleyball or something. But for dance, it's like, what are we supposed to do? Do we just stop? Do we just stop being who we are because we became moms, we got older? So that led her to form this crew just for moms. You had to be a mom to join. So honestly, after a while, there were so many women who wanted to join. I mean, they could come to a class, but they could not be on the crew. And, you know, they're so hurt. They're like, oh, I need to borrow somebody's baby, you know, to be on this crew. I mean, we even had a grandma who was like 60 years old. Oh, she's such an inspiration because she never stopped dancing. I mean, you know, she had some arthritis, and she couldn't do some of the moves. She couldn't, like, you know, we're doing floor work. She had to, like, stand up here. But still, it was just so amazing. And it, honestly, I realized that mothers should not, I mean, we love nurturing our children. We love just nurturing everybody around us and giving and giving and giving, but we feel so guilty when we do anything for ourselves. We feel selfish.
Amen.
And this,
yep.
You know, this made me realize it's okay. It's okay to have something that belongs to you, because even our children don't belong to us. They belong to themselves. One day they're going to grow up and leave, and our job is to prepare them for the world. So then what are you left with? I know so many moms, you know, like I said, I was a stay-at-home mom. I homeschooled for a little bit even during that time. I homeschooled for a year and a half or so. And there were so many moms, like, let's say their kids are gone for the weekend. They don't know what to do with themselves because they're so used to doing for their kids. They didn't, and I'm like, hey, go to the library. I'm not the library. Go to the bookstore. Go get a pedicure. Go to the spa. Like, they did not even know where to start because they're so used to their children being there, which is, you know, it's not a bad thing, but you just got to balance that. So I get on this crew. I audition, you know, make it. And, I mean, when I tell you to get on shows like that, I think, okay, so it was a cool thing that, you know, because first we'd say we're moms. Like, let's say we do a community event. We show up and everybody's like expecting, aw, moms, how cute. And then we bust out dancing hip-hop. We did heels. We did we did so many things where teenagers were like, we want to be like you when we grow up. And that, I think, is what made us stand out. I think that's what got us on these shows because, yeah, we couldn't do the flips and the tricks that, you know, these 19 and 20-year-olds were doing. Like when we went to World of Dance, we won third place World of Dance in Texas, third place USA. So that led us to, you know, be able to go to LA and compete worldwide. And we won 10th. And I promise you we would have been higher, but somebody, one of us tripped and, like, fell all the way, not just tripped and, you know, covered up. So we lost points, which is okay. But I think we would have even ranked higher. And the one thing I learned from that, other than, of course, just never giving up on your dreams, no matter how old you are, no matter how much it sounds crazy. I mean, there's probably people who think, okay, grow up and get a real job. But I just loved tapping into that little girl in me and making sure I stay connected to that. And the other thing I realized was just how amazing we are as mothers. I'm telling you, we were rehearsing 8 hours. And this is, I mean, we're competing against people who just have themselves to take care of. And here we are, we have to feed the kids, make sure the laundry's done, and then rush to, you know, practice so that we can practice another 6 hours before, and then go back home, make sure everything's done, and we have to wake up early the next day to prepare, you know, our children for school or whatever it was. So imagine our hunger for having something of our own, and it just built our confidence so much as moms. And when I tell you, there were moms who came in, you know, messy hair, didn't know how to do makeup, lived in tights, and then you see the transformation of just they had to learn how to, you know, we had to wear makeup so you can see us on camera, so you can see us, you know, like, so we are not drowned out by stage lights. Our style improved. I mean, honestly, there were some relationships that didn't make it through all that because some of it was grueling to be away from family so much. So there were certain aspects that I wish were different, but there, you know, there were other things that we gained. So when we competed,
you feel like, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just wondering, like, you know, if other women, you know, other mothers in the crew felt guilty in the crew, like to the mom guilt and the family guilt,
yes,
kind of for following their dreams. Did they share that same guilt with you? Like, did you hear about that?
Yeah, absolutely. There were, because honestly,
yeah,
there were relationships that were strong enough to handle it, and then there were other relationships where this took over, and, you know, at home things weren't, you know, they weren't holding down the fort as much, right? And honestly, I'll say this,
right,
like, I wish there was more of a balance because we craved, okay, so when you are a mom and a wife at home, you do a lot of things, but you may not be thanked for those things. And, you know, people may not just, you know, you're not going to get a standing ovation, right, for making sure that,
right,
the laundry's done and food is on the table. So what started happening was when we would go out there and the crowd, the faces, you know, these faces where they're like wowed by us. And it was so contagious. Like that feeling was so contagious and it was so amazing. Like we couldn't get enough of that. But that's what I mean by, you know, it didn't mean our families didn't appreciate us, but I think some of us just loved that so much and we wanted so much more of it, we lost the balance. And there were times where, you know, I had to reel it in and say, okay. But at least me, I was a stay-at-home mom. There were moms who worked. There were single moms. So there were times when, you know, they had to bring their children to rehearsal. You know, if they were little, they had to lay them, you know, on cots. And the cool thing was as moms, we came together. So, if someone wasn't in this section and they weren't rehearsing, they could hold the babies or, you know, whatever they were doing. My kids were a little older.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I feel like there are a lot of moms who felt guilty being there sometimes because, you know, their husbands are saying, what, mom crew again? You're going to dance rehearsal again? And, you know, they're not used to that. They're not used to the moms having something for themselves that takes them away. So it really depended on how strong the relationship was, on which ones survived and which ones didn't. And if the women balanced and made sure that they still went home and were present when they were there.
Yeah, that's key. Well, my hat goes off to you for all of that, because I know how hard that sacrifice is. I mean, when I was doing my dance stuff, trying out for Dallas Cowboys, I made it to the top 15. I would have met you probably in Dallas. I was
wow.
The top 15 of 5 states for Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, and I hate Dallas Cowboys. I am the biggest Dallas Cowboys hater. Like, when I go out there, girl, just know when I come visit you, I'm going to be wearing 49er gear. The hatred is deep. But, girl, my hat goes off to you, like, for persevering, because we can't get lost in our own dreams with our kids. Because, remember, we have dreams, too, and for them to see us following our dreams, it inspires them to follow their dreams. So that's we gotta not, and that's why I'm getting back into my music again, because I'm like, you know, I lost myself for a minute, and my daughter's doing her thing, her career's taking off, so I need to do me too.
Exactly.
And so I'm offsetting that by writing again, and you know, I just want to write. Like, that keeps me creative, it keeps me, you know, balanced and all that stuff. So, but I'm gonna switch gears real quick. A hard write. Into your book. You had talked about your book, which is an amazing accomplishment in itself. And I have somebody that's been reading your book that wants to, this is impromptu, you didn't know this was going to happen, but there's somebody on the line that I just brought on right now that wants to talk about how they just, you know, got your book and they started reading it. And you're live on air right now. You know who you are.
Hey, Leah, how are you?
Hi.
This is Christine.
Do you know who that is, Leah?
Hi, Christine. I knew it. I was like, okay, is this Christine? Oh, my God.
Hey, it's
what
so
a
good
surprise.
To
what a
Thank
beautiful
your voice.
Surprise. Me too. I'm about to cry.
I'm so proud of you, Leah. I'm so super proud of you. And like Tammy was saying, thank you, Mark Zuckerberg, for Facebook, because I didn't know where you went. I knew you went to Arlington, Texas, so you just disappeared. And then nobody knew where you went. And I was not even on Facebook. I was not on Facebook for a million years. And Anne and Twyla told me that it was mandatory that I get on Facebook because, you know, that's where people were at. And so I looked you up, and I've been following you. And both of you ladies, just a huge shout out, like you guys were saying about moms. It is so important to do something for yourselves, but you both just are amazing mothers. All your pictures are about your kids and, you know, how you're so proud of them. And I think that's super commendable. So that's awesome. And I'm super
Thank
happy
you.
To join
Thank you.
You.
Thank
Same
with
you,
you and your three boys.
And seriously, and we got to throw out that voucher, too. Like, you know, I don't know if you heard earlier, Leah and I, the next time we keep talking about a reunion, right? Me, you, Twyla, like, well, Christine,
yeah.
Leah, Twyla, and then whoever else. I mean, we had more people than that, Tandle, and I mean, we had a lot of people, but the four of us, for sure, mandatory. That we got to get together.
Yeah.
And Christine, you owe us a hand massage. Your hand
I
massage,
do not remember.
Girl.
You
I
don't
do
remember?
Not
oh
remember
my.
What hand massage is. I do not.
Oh, I totally remember how to do it. So I'm going to show you for 2 seconds, and then you're going to remember to bring that back out. Because I swear to you,
well,
like
I'm
when I we would have like a.
My, that's how I earned money all through high school was my dad and my stepdad. They asked me to rub their feet and rub their hands, and that's why I earned money. And so I was like an expert.
Wow.
No wonder. You didn't tell us about that. You never told us about that. Hey, do you remember our road trip, Christine, to spring break?
Of course. Yes.
You guys remember Ashland? Like, I just remembered that part, like, all of a sudden, because I looked at that picture. I'm like, where did we take that? We stayed in, like, a haunted hotel
that
or
ghost,
something in Ashland.
The haunted hotel, yes.
Oh, my gosh, the haunted hotel
you remember that?
In Ashland. Yes. Okay, yep. Mm-hmm.
And
they
didn't have that 413.
Not haunted. It really was.
What's that?
It had some dark, dark energy.
It did.
It was weird. It had some weird energy. And then it was like Shakespeare stuff, too. A lot of Shakespeare stuff going on in Ashland.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That was
like a Shakespearean festival.
Yeah, she sang at the festival. I remember that.
And then we like sung at like a radio station with my dad. Remember?
Yeah, I have that picture. Yes. and
we went to the beach.
Now you have your own radio show.
Isn't that amazing?
It is so cool. It's pretty cool. I got to say, it's really fun. It's cool because I get to bring on so many cool guests like Leah and Christine to be on my show, and so many different people in my life that I know that are amazing people and their journeys, and just it's so cool. I mean, and you know, now Leah is doing life coaching, which I think is so fitting, right, Christine? Because she was 100%. Always like the comforting, giving advice, like, okay, so if we had a problem, if we had an issue, if we had a boy problem or something going on, right, in our life, you know, studies, whatever it is, in college, we always know that we could go to Leah and she would give like amazing advice. Christine, you were more like maternal, like motherly, like you had comforting thing. You had a comforting mother. You always had that maternal side of you. Leah was always like the soundboard of different ways to approach something. And I would say like Twyla was always down for whatever. You asked her to do something, she's down. She's going. Like, hey, you want to do this? Let's go.
Yep.
She was like the realest sidekick ever. Like she was ride or die. She was ride or die for us. So we all had kind of different things, I think, that we brought to the table, which made us so unique as a group. But Leah, tell us about your life coach, you know, experience, like what you're doing. And Christine, stay on the line. Stay on.
Yes, I'm here. Please stay. So I'd wanted to be a life coach when I heard about it at 19, but then at that age, I was thinking, okay, I mean, I haven't even lived life. How am I going to tell anybody what to do? So I think it is such an appropriate time now. And after writing my book, after going through the divorce, it just, the book was so healing for me to revisit things that I thought I had healed from, things that I thought I had grieved. And I just went back and placed myself in those situations, like my parents' death. And, you know, you'll have to read the book to find out more. But that was such a healing process for me. And I found my voice. I found myself. And I thought, wow, in these last 2 years, the work I've done on myself, I coached myself. And I knew if I can change my mindset, I can do anything else. That is where the wealth is, honestly. Because if you have that mindset, you know, you can focus, you can be disciplined enough about your health, be a good steward of all the things in your life, finances, all of that. It just, everything starts with our thoughts. So I discovered what I could do for myself. And now, I mean, when you have something that good, I want to be able to help other women do the same. I want them to rediscover who they are in God, and how we're each and every one of us have unique gifts and a purpose that we came here with, that we're supposed to fulfill, to peel all the layers off of trauma and childhood, you know, anything that happened in childhood or young adulthood that just placed all these limitations on us. So I just want to give back and help more women make those mindset shifts to be able to find peace, to be able to find financial stability so that they can pursue their dreams and just, you know, build their marriages, their households. And, you know, I am divorced, but, you know, I have a lot of wisdom and knowledge on what, you know, I would do differently, or, you know, advice for a younger married couple. So that's what I would love to do for other women.
I love that.
That's impressive.
And it's so fitting for you. It's so impressive, right, Christine? Because, you know,
she is
literally like the definition of like somebody like that.
You've overcame so many different
obstacles in your life, and you never let anything stop you. And being a single mom is so extremely hard. I can't even imagine doing that in a different country, even though you came here young. Like, you were younger than all of us. I don't even know. Like, I felt like you were like still in high school when you were in college with us. You were like a year behind us. You were younger than all of us, but you had like an old soul. You always had that. I think you were probably, as a child, you probably had an old soul. where you had this innate wisdom. Yeah, you do. You got this wisdom to you. You talked about, we're running out of time right now, so I want to tell our listeners, because you had mentioned that you're offering a free 30-minute coaching session to the first 7 people who send you a direct message, a DM or IG on IG or Facebook. I want you to tell our listeners how they can follow you, how they can contact you, even if not just for that, but just even to stay in touch with you. How can people learn more about you and your book?
Absolutely. So my book is on Amazon, and I self-publish. So if there's anyone, I think we all have a story in us, anyone who wants to write or anyone who wants to read about my journey, and I hope reading about it encourages them to know that their voice matters, that their story is important. It is on Amazon. It is called Memoirs of a Young Ethiopian Girl. And you can find me on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, under Leah, L-I-Y-A, underscore Johannes, Y-O-H-A-N-N-E-S. And if you go there, and there should be a link where you can send me a DM, or if, you know, you can just send me a DM, or there's a link to make to book a call with me. And yes, I would love to have give away some free sessions for, you know, if anybody wants accountability, if they need a sounding board to see, you know, where they're stuck and what they want to achieve, whether it's health goals, whether it's finances. To strive for better relationships, whatever it is, to make sure that, you know, it's their whole we're multifaceted beings. So whatever in their life that they're struggling with, most of the time there's one or two root causes. So I help them get clear on what those are so that they can get unstuck and live the life of their dreams.
I love that. I think it's amazing. And, you know, the name of tonight's segment on Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show is Chasing Peace. So what can you tell our listeners, you know, what your final thought is about how you can chase, or better yet, find peace in your life?
Absolutely. Great question. For me, for the longest time, I was seeking validation from people instead of knowing that all I needed was me to believe in myself, to build my own confidence, to do things afraid, and to depend on God. So once I got rid of the people-pleasing and I was able to set boundaries, because, you know, when we hear boundaries, a lot of people think, oh, that's so hard to do, it's off-putting, it's like putting up a wall. But boundaries actually help other people learn how to love us better. So once I switched that mindset to thinking that way, I was able to focus on the people and the things that brought just positivity to my life. And not saying, you know, I'm not going to accept anyone who's going through something. There's a difference. But if there's something draining or toxic or just something that I know I've learned to listen to my instincts and to listen to God. The more obedient I am to that little voice in me, the more peace I build. So I guard my home. I don't allow things that I know are upsetting that peace or that balance in my life. I don't allow that. I don't allow certain people. If I need to love them from a distance, I do. If I need to pray for them for a distance, I do. So for me, I made chasing peace, finding peace, the number one priority, because then everything else fell into place. And honestly, that came from being obedient. And when I say that, I mean, if you look back to every decision you've made that you know just took you off course, you know a moment that God said no. You know, there was a moment that it was not for you, but you said, huh, let me just go forward and find out for myself. And we always end up regretting it. So the more I stay obedient and disciplined, I find more peace in my life because I'm staying true to who God designed me as. So that's really the takeaway for me.
Love that. You are so amazing. I love you, girl. And I'm so happy Love you both, Christine and Leah. I thank
yes,
you so much,
you
Leah, for being on my show, and I appreciate, Christine, you calling in. Twyla wanted to call in, too, tonight. She said she's in the middle of driving right now, so we want to keep her safe, but she's going to listen back to the show later. And, ladies, promise me this. We are definitely going to get together and do this. Like, it's been 26 years. That's crazy. That's insane. It's been
yes,
too 100%. Long. We are going to plan something.
Yes, yes.
We are definitely going to plan something.
I think if I'm not mistaken, Arizona is in between California and Texas.
Oh.
So I say we yes. meet up here.
Let's make it happen. Hey, I'm down. I'm down. Whatever we got to do
I've
to
never,
make it happen,
yeah,
let's make it
I've
happen.
Been there. Let's do it.
But I love you guys, and I know that we're about
love
to get
too.
Cut off in 2 seconds. So we'll be in contact, and thank you all for listening tonight. Stay blessed out there, and just want to let everyone know I appreciate you all listening in, and make sure you follow Leah. Look on my social media. I tag Leah all over the place so you can see how to follow her. Make sure you get her book, and we'll be talking soon. Everybody take care out there and stay healthy. Good night.
Take care.